Okay, good morning. We are continuing today. We're going to continue with the Shiras Devora. Shiras Devora expands upon the story and the narrative that we learned about the miracles of the war with Sisera. And we'll really get into more details here. We really learned the bigger picture. And more details come out from this story. But really, I want to also put this into the context of the just the general notion of Shira in the Torah, in particular by the Seder. We'll notice a common theme. You know, the first Shira in the Torah is Az Yashir. The Haftorah for that Parsha, which is Parshas Beshalach, is Shiras Devora. So there is a clear connection between the holiday of Pesach and Shiras Devora, which we're learning right now. But even deeper than that, we will see that very often when there is a Shira in the Torah, or in Tanakh, wherever it might be, we don't always start with the immediate relief, with the immediate miracle. Usually, the Shira goes backwards and it goes forwards. You mention whatever happened right now, and you would argue that if you were composing a Shira about, you were tasked with the job by Devorah and Barak to write the Shira that was going to be sung to the Jewish people, you would write about the details of Sisera and the war and Yavin, Melech Kanan, and Yael, and how they positioned themselves in the north and the south and everything we discussed. And you'd write it in a beautiful poetic way, and it'd be a very beautiful Shira. I'm sure everyone would do a great job. But it seems like something would be missing. And we see in the Shiras in the Torah that there usually is, we don't begin with the immediate relief. We begin before that. We begin by talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and other great things he did for us in the past. And we also don't end with what happened now. We end with future. So we will see that is a common thread that happens all the time. And we have to, I guess, ask ourselves, why is that? Why do we think when we begin Shiros, the Tishbachos, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when we sing Shira, we don't start with the immediate salvation. We begin with other salvations, other amazing things that Hashem did for us. And we end with the hope for more in the future. So maybe that is a question, unless someone has a suggestion now, a question that is an overarching one regarding this Shira in particular, but really all Shiras in general. Vatashar Devora uBarak ben Avinoam b'yom ahuleimor. Devora and Barak were so inspired by this war and by this clear miracle. By the way, it wasn't a clear miracle. It wasn't an overt miracle like the Ten Makos or like Kriyas Yamsuf. This was a miracle within nature. There were people that were actually fighting the war. There were people that were actually, attacking, and there was no huge miracle that happened at one moment. There was, we know the war of Sennacherib that happened in times of Chizkiyah, that was in one night, the entire Sennacherib army was destroyed, decimated. It was a clear Yad Hashem miracle, an overt Nes Nigla. In this story, there was no Nes Nigla. It was a Nes Nistar. Yes, the other army was much stronger than we were. We were much smaller. We were not as prepared. So we won that war. It was amazing. It's a miracle. It was within nature. It's a Nes Nistar. It's within nature. Similar and akin to the miracles of 1948, 1967, which were miraculous for so many reasons within nature. But Tasha Devora, yeah, Mendy?
So getting back to that question that you just asked, maybe it's in some ways similar to Shmon Esrei. Shmon Esrei, we're asking for needs that we have today. But before we get there, we kind of do an introduction about the Avos beforehand, because you have to talk about the past of the relationships that happened there to now talk about the present.
Yeah.
The needs of the present. So maybe it's a similar type thing. You have to go into the past and talk about things before you talk about things that happen today.
It could be. It could be. It's related to, like the Rabbi Salvechik writes, the reason why we invoke the names of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the beginning of davening of Shmoneh Esrei is it's like your credentials. It's your press pass. How are you getting in? Oh, it's not me. I could stand before you. No, but look who my Abba was. Look, you know, I'm getting in. I'm Tzchus Avos. That's my press pass to get to stand before Kadosh Baruch Hu, to go backstage, so to speak, and speak to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's maybe what's going on here. And maybe there's an element to that here too. But Tasha Devorah. So Devorah sings with Barak. More Bifroa Praos Bi Yisrael, Bis Nadev Am Baruchu Hashem. So when vengeance is Proa Praos means, we're not going to take the translation here of the Sfaria, but Art Scroll is a little bit more precise. When there are Praos are, there are bad things that happen to the Jewish people, right? When vengeances are afflicted, the people themselves dedicate themselves more to Hashem, meaning, but the Radak points out here, what does this pasuk mean? Bin kom nekamos, when Hashem exacts justice against the Jewish people. The Jewish people, we saw here, this is the pattern of Shoftim, do wrong, they sin, they do aver, they make poor choices, right? What happens? We end up going out to war. Kishe Yisrael misnadim misgabrim, when we go out to war, we also need to thank Hashem. Even in these difficult times, when it's really not maybe appropriate, we see things that are very scary happening to the Jewish people, very challenging happening to Klal Yisrael, that is also a time to praise Hashem. This is akin to what the Gemara writes, that Kishem Shemavarchem al Tova, just like we thank Hashem in the good times, we have to bless Hashem in the bad times. So in the good times, we make a tova meitiv. That's the bracha that many of us had made before we got our vaccine. And in the bad times, lo aleinu, at a shiva, at a funeral, we make the bracha, dayan ha'emet. Kishem shevarchim al tova, kach mevarchim al hara'a. We thank Hashem in both of those times. Shimu malachim ha'azinu, roznim anochi lashem, anochi ashira, azamer lashem, lalokei Yisrael. So shimu malachim, hear the kings, ha'azinu roznim, hear the secrets, lahashem anochi ashira azamer. I am singing and I am singing. Shira and azimra, two different ways to express the singing here. And Devorah now is saying, everybody should hear the song. I am so elated. When somebody has such great news to share, has such a simcha. So today we put it on social media, but we want to tell people, we want to spread that news to as many people as possible. Why the double language Ashira Azamer? So simply, the Radak writes here, Ashira Azamer means that the song continued with intensity. It didn't just stop after, it continued with intensity. Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes a beautiful thought. Rav Shimshon David Pinkus passed away in 2006. Was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. And he made Aliyah. He used to live in Brooklyn. He says, on Shabbos, we sing Zmiros. He says, why are they called Shiros? Why on Shabbos are the Zmiros that we sing called Zmiros? No, we have Shira and we have Zmira, Zimra. What's the difference? So he writes something really beautiful. A Shira is a song that has an end. It begins with Yonah Matzah and it ends at the end of it. It begins here, it ends there. A Zimra, he says, is more like a Nigun. It's more a Nigun. That it begins, but it doesn't have an end. You know, we see this sometimes at Yedid Nefesh on Friday nights and probably every shul that I've ever been in. Singing Yedid Nefesh, and then you continue with the Nigun afterwards. And nobody knows when to end the Nigun because someone's always continuing it. But in a very beautiful way, that Rav Pinkus says, Shabbos is, we have the time, the space, the capacity to think and connect to the Kadosh Baruch Hu more than the rest of the week. So during the week, Ashira is it's defined, it's limited to the words itself. A Zimra is not only a song without words. It's a nigun, but it's a song that has no end. And right now, Devorah is so appreciative. She's male Shira. She's male, you know, Shira's with Yishpachos Hashem. She's so recognized and see the hand of Hashem in everything she does. And she's not only singing Yeshira, but it's a Zimra. It's something that she does not want to end. She wants it to continue forever and ever. Hashem b'tzeischa mi-Seir, b'tzadcha mi-Stei Edom. When Hashem left Seir, which nation is associated with Seir? No, which nation? When Hashem Esav. Left Seir. What?
Esav,
excellent. So when did Hashem leave Seir, right? And on his advances from the fields of Edom, Eretz Ra'asha, the entire earth trembled. What is this a reference to? When did Hashem leave Seir? So this is a reference to a very well-known medrash that we all know. We all learned this in kindergarten. Now, when Hashem went to give the Torah to the Jewish people, he first went to the other nations. He went to Edom. He went to Yishmael. He went to, right? Makasabe, what does it say in it? So they say murder, don't, and we know the medrash. So this is a reference to that medrash. Really, it's not a reference to medrash. The medrash is a reference to this pasuk. I have it backwards. Hashem b'tzeischa mi-Seir. When Hashem left Seir, on Hashem's way to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he left Seir, right? And he said to them, do you want the Torah? And they said, what is written in it? They said, no. Eretz Ra'asha, the earth trembled. When we got the Torah, the entire earth trembled. Gam shamayim natfu gam avim natfu mayim. The earth was dripping with, literally means with water. But we know here, this is a reference to the Medrash also that tells us that when the Jewish people heard the Torah being given from the Ribono Shel Olam, Melech Malchim Lachim, everybody died out of that awesome experience. And Hashem placed dew, tal of Tchias HaMesim on them, and everybody was revived as a result. Harim Nazlu Mipnei Hashem, the mountains shook and quaked from before God. Zes Sinai, Mipnei Hashem Elokei Yisrael, right? The mountain of Sinai shook, all the mountains around shook when they heard the word of Hashem. So you see here that how is it Har Sinai and the miracles of the Matan Torah connected to here? Maybe it's not so connected. But when we are singing Shira of Hashem, we don't just go to the immediate. We go back and we reference other times that Hashem has been so good to us, that Hashem has been so great to us in our past. And Devorah is referencing and talking about first Matan Torah. And now,
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Question. Didn't Hashem know what was going to happen, that everybody was going to die? So he must have had a reason why he wanted everybody to do this. What was his reasoning? I mean, it's hard to understand God's reasoning, but he knew that was going to happen. So there must be a reason why everybody had to die to come back.
Great. Yeah. The Medrash, you know, the Medrash is there to teach us something deeper, something meaningful. It's not just to report a fact in history or something. There's a meaning here. What do you think it is? What is the message here that at the giving of the Torah we died and then we're revived? What is that? What's the message there? Oh, any thoughts from anybody? It's a good question. I'll share one thought. The one thought I have is that maybe what this is teaching us is the power, the transformative power of Torah itself. That you can live a life disconnected for whatever reason. And then you find and you discover and you uncover Torah in a way you never had before, or you never knew about Torah before. It brings life. It brings life. It brings connection. It can revive somebody. being connected to the Torah itself. It is the ultimate chayim. He eats chayim hi lamachazikim ba. We call it a tree of life. And maybe that's the message here of this medrash, that it's to show the power of the Torah and how much life it gives to us. Perhaps that's a suggestion. It's a great question, Mandy. Okay, now we're going to learn what's great about now the Shira is not only is it a beautiful Shira, we learn some more details about the story that were not clear beforehand. So now Yael continues. Bimei Shamgar ben Anat, Bimei Yael, Chadlu Orchos, Vahole Chei Nisivos, Yelchu Orchos Akalkalos. So in the times of Shamgar, we met Shamgar already. Shamgar got one pasuk. He was the previous shofet before Barak and Devorah. We mentioned that according to one opinion, Barak and Devorah were co-shoftim, and maybe that was a common thing that happened. There wasn't always just one shofet for the entire nation. But now, what does this mean? Bimei Shamgar ben Anat, good, he was a shofet. Great, we know that. Bimei Yael, in the days of Yael, also, what does that mean in the days of Yael? So Rashi here writes, in the days of Yael, Milamed Sha'af Yael Shafta Es Yisrael B'yameha. That even, you see from here, that even Yael was also a shofetes in her days, and she judged the people. And she judged the people too. So that's fascinating on two levels. Why is this fascinating? We, in Perek Dalet, it sounded like the Navi sounded like Yael wasn't Jewish. Here, we mentioned this last week, that we're going to see, you know, the contrary opinion. Just so if she really is a shofetes, that is, you know, she's Jewish. That changes our perspective on the story of her and Sisera and how she was allowed to sleep with him, right? That was, that adds to that, you know, or changes our perspective on that. Number one is. Number two, Devorah is not the only women shofetes. Now we have two women shoftos. We have Devorah and Yael. So that those are, that's a key line here in the Shira. So what happened during their time? Chadlu orchos v'hochei nisivos. The paths stopped, the highways. People stopped traveling on the highways and on the paths, v'hochei nisivos. Instead, people walked on circuitous roads. Now, why is that? What happened here? People were afraid. Rashi writes very simply, people were afraid of Yavin's army, of Sisera's army, and there was a fear to go outside. There was a fear to go out, and if they needed to go out, they didn't go on the regular path, on the regular highways, because then they knew they would be attacked by Sisera's army. It was a very scary time. So they had to go in roundabout ways, you know, through backways and forests to get to wherever they need to go to. Think about to buy some milk. In those days, it was not so simple. It was very difficult. Chadlu prazon b'Yisrael, chadlu ad shikamti devora, shikamti im b'Yisrael. Chadlu prazon. Chadlu prazon, they stopped living in unwalled towns. And unwalled towns. We know this language of prazim from the city, from the Sefer, from Megillas Esther. A praz is a city that is unwalled, an unwalled city. We live in an unwalled city here in America. All America is unwalled from the days Yeshua ben Nun. So therefore, all of us, we celebrate Purim on Yud Dalid Adar. So that's a praz. So people stop living in unwalled cities. Why would they stop living in unwalled cities? Why would that happen during this time?
Maybe they felt safe.
It was dangerous, right? It was unsafe to live in unwalled cities. So people, not only was it dangerous to walk on the paths, people started moving to cities that were fortified. It was dangerous. They were getting prepared. Think of 1967. What happened leading up to 1967? What was it? Nasrallah was threatening to destroy and decimate Israel, knock us off the map. That's what was going on every day on the news for months and months leading up to the beginning of June until we attacked first. What were the Jewish people doing in preparation for this war? Did anybody remember? They were digging graves. They were digging graves in Israel to get ready for the war. They were convinced that thousands and thousands, if hundreds, would die. And they were digging graves, preparing for that. That's the way they prepared. In fact, there was news reports saying that they wouldn't have enough places to bury the Jewish people. They were so afraid. This is what was happening then too. Chadlu Prazon. The way they were getting ready, no one was traveling. People were stuffing into other homes in other cities and leaving their houses desolate and empty because they were so afraid. Until Achikamti Devora, until Devora came around, until Devora was here. Achikamti Ein B'Yisrael, until the mother of Israel, the Navi calls her, Devora came out and she led the people, then things changed, right? Then things changed when she stood up. Ratzalomer, the Mitzvah of his rights, Kain Haya, Adisha Kamti, Devora, Ani Devora, Kimiata Yakimeas, Kiachua Haba Aide Shlemahi. Kiviachridu Hagayim Hashem, Vayachdu Yisrael, Milachas, Orchos. So she got up herself and she started leading the Jewish people.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Going back to what you said before about the aisles, so because you said that maybe she was not Jewish. So obviously, if we could go along with that reasoning, obviously she became a Gayeris, but she was able to rise all the way to be a Shofet. And it just goes to show in our religion how many people can basically, who are not Jewish, rise to such levels of leadership or be big Talmud Chacham. You have someone like Reish Lakish, who is a bank robber. A highway robber. He became his name, said in the Gemara all the time. So you can reach great levels, even if you come from a non-Jewish background.
Yeah. It's a great point, but I would say I haven't seen yet anyone say that Yael was a Gioress. Either she was Jewish or she wasn't. Most likely, it sounds like she was from here. We'll see one other very clear proof that she was at the end of the Shira as well. But Rabbi, also, Melty, she's called an Aim B'Yisrael, a mother. Why a mother here? She's a leader. She's fighting the wars. Because a mother stands, if a mother's children are going to get hurt, the mother stands in front of them and protects them. So that's what she did. It wasn't just that she led them and she taught them Torah, but she stood in front of them to protect them from the bullets, to protect them from the onslaught of Sisera. She took one from the team. Yes, Milti.
But Yael came from good stock. She came from Yisro.
Yeah.
Okay, good and Yisro was a very good advisor to Moshe. He came to Moshe and told him to do certain things, which Moshe followed. So it's not as if Yisro had leadership qualities.
Correct.
And he passed them on to Moshe. So this goes to prove you don't have to necessarily be Jewish to be a good leader and to be a good judge and to be ethic.
Correct. Moshe wanted Yisro to go to him to Israel because he needed him. Right. He said, you're going to be my eyes and my ears. I'm going to need you 100%. It's very good. Yifchar Elohim Chadashim. When the Jewish people, how this all start? When the Jewish people chose new gods, right? I said Elohim. Elohim here is referring to idols. When they chose new gods, Az lacham se'arim. Then the fighter, right? Then people come to attack them. Sha'arim again. Im yira'evu ro'machbar ba'im elef b'Yisrael. So says Rashi here, what's going on? K'shebarcha lo Yisrael lohim chadashim, az huskuku l'machama. This war only happened because the Jewish people began the war by, you know, veering from Hashem. Im yira'evu Yisrael magin v'ro'mach sh'tarech li'lachim b'yir arba'im elef roshei gaisos. And then, like, they didn't even have the people to stand up to the 40,000 people that were fighting against Israel. They didn't have this. They didn't have the capacity to fight. So they knew, right, they would have to rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu at this, in this war. Libi l'chokikei Yisrael. My heart, now Devorah is talking, right, it now goes to first person. Hamisnadim ba'am baruch hu Hashem. My heart is with the leaders of Israel, the dedicated people. Baruch hu Hashem, I praise Hashem. She's recognizing here that at this point, it's very, very clear that the Jewish people had no capacity on their own. They had no ability or capability to win this war on their own. It was impossible for them to do that, for them to achieve that. It was only through Yad Hashem that they could achieve the insurmountable, they could achieve the impossible. And that's what she's expressing here. It is so clear and evident to her that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was the one to help them win this war. So we're going to stop here for today. We will continue Bezrat Hashem with Shiras Devorah next time. We learn. It goes on for quite some time. And we'll see we'll see there's some politics that went on during the war, how the war got started. We'll see how she goes back to Yael and expresses more praise about Yael and compares Yael to the Imahos. She's very, very powerful. And then there are other overarching themes that we'll address as well in this very important parak.
Rabbi.
Wish everybody a great day. Yes.
That family.